Good morning. Our invitation this morning is, just kidding, I just wanted to see if you guys are awake. Before I start, I would like to say a few words about the preaching training program at the 84th Street in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, that Brother Cody and I attended last year. It's for those who are wishing to preach and improve their preaching. And I encourage every young man over here, even grown men, to participate in this training. I believe you'll learn so much from it. And the congregation there has put such a great program together to help those who are willing to preach God's Word. With the help of Brother Hoakland, Brother Osborne, and Brother John Isaac Edwards, you can't go wrong. To me, it's probably one of the most fulfilling 7 days of my life. It's that amazing and it's that good. And also, I would like to thank the men of this congregation allowing me to preach and to say a few words about from God's the Bible, so we can use it as we go through our lives. And the topic that I prepared is to be content. We have what we need. We have what we need. It's easy to think, I had more money. If I had more money, I could accomplish my dreams. If I had a bigger house, then I'd be happy. If I had more talent, a better personality, if I knew the right people, then I could do something great. As long as we feel like we are lacking, we don't have enough, we were shortchanged, then we make excuses to be less than our best. Let me say that again. As long as we feel like we are lacking, we don't have enough, we were shortchanged, then we make excuses to be less than our best. We got to have a new perspective. God has given us exactly what we need for the season that we are in. We have the talent. We have the friends. We have the connection, the resources, the experience we need for right now. It doesn't mean that's all we're going to have. With our faith and our trust in the Lord, He will continue to provide for us. In Psalms 34, verse 10, it says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good things." What David was saying is, even the fierce, cunning, strong lions will suffer hunger. But those who trust in the Lord shall never lack any good thing, or no good thing shall be denied to those who seek the Lord. Our attitude should be, I'm equipped. I have the strength for this moment. I am not lacking. I'm not shortchanged, inadequate. I'm not missing out. I'm not less than. I have what I need for today. This approach is so much easier and so much better than thinking, if I just had the finances, if the loan would have gone through, if they would be my friend, if I had a better personality. Listen, if we need a better personality, God would have given us a better personality. God wasn't having a bad day when He created us. If we needed more talent, God would have given us more talent. Take what we have and make the most of it. It's what we need for right now. He has given us the strength that we need for today. It may not be enough for tomorrow, but that's okay. When that gate day comes, God will provide for us. See, the truth is, God has already lined up the right opportunities, the right people, the finances, the wisdom, the good breaks, the protection that we need. It's in our future. As long as we keep honoring Him, He will give us what we need. So my question is this. Will we trust Him? Will we trust Him? Will we keep a good attitude and be our best, even though it is taking longer than we thought? Will we trust Him even though the problem has not turned around? Even though the dream hasn't come true? In 2 Samuel 12, David has gotten off course. The prophet Nathan was correcting him, and in doing so, he reminded David of what God has brought him through. David has seen God's goodness, His favors, His protection, His finances all through the years. And in verse 8, Nathan made an interesting statement. He said, David, if it had not been enough, God would have given you much, much more. In other words, David, in looking back in your life, if you were ever lacking, if you were ever needing more wisdom, more favors, more protection, more finances, God would have given it to you. And that tells me what we have is what we need to fulfill our destiny. God is closely watching our lives. We are His prized possession. He's saying to us what He said to David. If it isn't enough, you can count on me. And I'll always be there, not a second late. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a Samaritan woman at the well. He asked her for something to drink. She was a little surprised because in those days, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritan. She said, How can you ask me of something to drink? And Jesus said, if you knew who I am, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. She immediately began to look at the natural. She said, but sir, you don't have anything to draw water with, and the well is too deep. So how can you give me living water? You know, I wonder how many times we do the same thing. God tells us He is going to do something great in our lives. Down deep, He puts a dream, on the inside, that we're going to rise higher. We are going to see our marriage strong. We are going to get healthy again. We feel it so strongly. But like the Samaritan woman, we start looking at what we don't have. The way we were raised. The obstacles in our past. Before long, we talk ourselves out of it. We serve a supernatural God. The one and only God who created the universe. He can take something that is ordinary, breathe on it, and turn it into something that is extraordinary. We have average talents, but when God breathes in our lives, we will go further than people that have better talents. Don't talk yourselves out of it. All David has was a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. It looked insignificant. It looks ordinary. It was nothing special. But when God breathes on it, He defeated Goliath. He became the king of Israel. Samson was surrounded by a huge army. Everywhere he looked, there were horses, there were chariots, there were weapons. All he had was a jawbone of a donkey. He picked up that jawbone, God breathes on it, and he defeated 1,000 men. He defeated the whole army. All Moses had was an ordinary stick. And when God breathes on it, he held that rod up and the Red Sea parted. Don't underestimate what we have. It may look small compared to what we are facing. It may seem impossible. All the odds may be against us. But when God breathes in our life, the odds dramatically change. He can open doors that never should have been opened. He can take us beyond our talents. He can make the way even when we don't see a way. It's not enough to have faith in Him, but also in what He has given us. The Creator of the universe is breathing on our lives. He's breathing on our health. He's breathing on our finances. He's breathing on our marriages. If we have faith in what He has given us, He can take what looks little and turn it into much. The Scripture says, "Don't despise the day of small beginning." Zechariah 4:10. Little can indeed be much if God is in it. Jesus has been teaching thousands of people. It was getting late in the day, and everyone was hungry. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "I want you to feed this people." They didn't have any food in the wilderness. It seems like what Jesus was asking was impossible. But here is the key. God will never ask you to do anything or do something and then not give you the ability to do it. God put the dream in our hearts. He lined up everything we need to bring it to pass. The disciples said to Jesus, "We can't feed all these people. We don't have enough food. It would take a lot of money to feed such a crowd. And once it may be at least 6 months of wages." He listened to all their excuses and finally said to them, "What do you have?" One of the disciples said, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But what is this among so many? It's not enough. We don't have the resources. That's the disciples' excuses. And it would be ours if we don't have faith and our trust in our Lord. Get rid of that I don't have enough mentality. God controls the universe. He is saying to you what he said to the disciples. Give me what you have. Don't make excuses. Don't sit on the sideline of life feeling intimidated and shortchanged. Put your life, your goals, your dreams in my hand. Jesus, the bread of life, took what little they have. He prayed over it, and it multiplied. It ended up feeding over 5,000 people, plus there were baskets left over. That's what happened when you give God what you have. He will multiply it. Let me ask you, are you talking yourselves out of something that God has put in your heart? I read a story about a young lady named Mary Bethune in history class when I was growing up. She was the youngest of 15 children born in South Carolina in the early 1800s. Her parents were slaves. In spite of the odds being against her, she was able to get a good education, even go to college. From the time she was a little girl, her dream was always to teach young people. She was a straight-A student. She graduated from college and turned in her application to teach at a school. Several months later, she got word back that she was turned down. For some reason, she wasn't accepted. But instead of her sitting around thinking about how bad life was treating her, she had the attitude, I didn't get that position. I must not have needed it. She decided to start her own school. She had no money. She had no building. She had no supplies. She has no equipment. She found some old cardboard boxes and used them as desks. She would get red berries each day and drain the juice out of them for her students could have ink in their pens. A few years later, a local college noticed what was happening and asked her to join forces. It became known as the Bethune-Cookman College. And in 1932, President Franklin Roosevelt appointed her as an advisor to his cabinet, making her the first African-American woman ever to become a presidential advisor. What am I saying? What you have may seem small, but don't dismiss it. If we will use what God has given us, He will multiply it. He will not only give our dreams to pass, but He will do more than what we can ask or think. In the scriptures, there were 4 lepers marching towards the enemy camp. These 4 men had nothing. No supplies, no food, no protection, even their health. In the real world, they didn't even stand a chance. They could have sitting around depressed, focused on what they didn't have. But they were using what God had given them. As they were marching towards the enemy's camp, God multiplied the sounds of their footsteps. It sounded like a huge army was attacking, and those enemies took off running for their lives. We can say, well, I don't have a lot of talent. Maybe not. But do you have any footsteps? I don't have much money. Maybe not. But do you have any red berries? If we use what God has given us, He will multiply it. He will multiply our talents, our resources, our influences. Listen, God is not into addition. He's into multiplication. What we have today may seem small, but if we keep honoring Him, it's not going to stay small. You're going to come into supernatural increases, good breaks, and good opportunities that you've never seen before. We have exactly what we need to fulfill our destiny. Now here's the key. It may not be as much as a family member, a co-worker, a friend, but that's okay. You're not running their race. You are running your race. If God gave you what they have, it wouldn't help you. It would hinder you. You're not anointed to be them. You're anointed to be you. When David went out to face Goliath, King Saul tried to get David to wear his armor. David didn't have any protection, just a slingshot. Saul had good intention. He said, David, at least use my armor. You're going to get out there and get killed. The problem was, David was much smaller than King Saul. When he put that armor on, it swallowed him. It didn't help him. It weighed him down. That's because when God has given other people, it's not going to work for you. Don't try to be like somebody else. I wish I have their talent. I wish I have their looks. I wish I have their health. I wish I have their personality. If you put on that armor like David did, you would be uncomfortable. It would slow you down. Why? It wasn't designed for you. You are unique. You are one of a kind. God custom made your armor. Nobody has what you have. When you go out today, you need to walk with some swag. I don't know what swag means, but that sounds good. And I'm too brown to have any swag. But David took that armor off and said, no thanks. This is not for me. I have what I need. It may be not as much as somebody else. But if we will use what God has given us, we can have less talent, less resources, less friends. But because God is breathing on our lives, we will go further than those who have more. Look at what happened with David. He defeated Goliath with less equipment. Goliath was wearing a full set of armor. All David had was his slingshot. The difference was that the slingshot was part of David's divine destiny. If he would have looked at it and thought, it's nothing, it's small, it's insignificant. If he would have dismissed it, he would have dismissed his destiny. Don't dismiss what God has given us. It may not be as impressive as somebody else. We may not have the talent, the looks, the personality, the income, the influence that they do. But we need to realize that what God has given us has been custom made. That He specifically gave us our gifts, our talents, our looks, our personalities. It wasn't a random happening. God didn't close His eyes and say, "Hey, here, take this, Sam." No. God matched us for our world. He put in us exactly what we need to fulfill His plan for our lives. We have to be confident in who God made us to be. We are not too short. We are not too tall. We are just the right size. We have the right personality. We are the right nationality. We've been custom made by the Creator of the universe. Push your shoulders back. Hold your head up high. We are not lacking. We haven't been shortchanged. We are not at a disadvantage. We have exactly what we need. Get up every morning and remind yourself, I have the strength, I have the talent, the friends, the resources, and the qualifications I need for today. Because our trust is in the Lord, I believe we will never lack any good things. God is going to take small and turn it into much. He is going to multiply what we have. We will become everything He created us to be. And we will have everything that He intended us to have. That's our lesson for this morning. I hope it's the one that we can learn from and understand what His Word has taught us in being content with what we have. It is a struggle of mine, but I have learned so much when putting this lesson together. I hope His Word and the examples that He uses will benefit us each and every, as we go through each and every day. Our custom here will not be dismissed without offering an invitation. This invitation is extended to the one who has never become a Christian, and the one who is unfaithful and wishes to return to God. We learn that to become a Christian, one must do what men were taught in the days of the apostles. We cannot assume that we can do anything less and become a Christian today. The New Testament teaches that one must know the truth in John 8:32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That truth is the gospel, Romans 1, verse 16, 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." Becoming a Christian, it requires believing in Christ, Mark 16:16, and Hebrews 11:6. Believing in Christ involves believing who He is, which is the Son of God, and believing what He says in the gospel, which is His word. One must repent of sin, Luke 13 verse 5 and Acts 2:38. One must confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10 verse 32. One must be baptized for the remission of sins. Matthew 28, verse 18, 20. And Mark 16, verse 15, 16. If one is an unfaithful Christian, having turned back to sinful things, he must return to God so he will not be lost. The New Testament also teaches us how it's done. In Acts 8:22 and Revelation 2, verse 5, we must repent of our sins. 2 John verse 1 and 9 and James 5 verse 16. We must repent of our sins. And 2 John 1 verse 9 and James 5 verse 16. We must confess. Acts 8:22 and 2 Peter 3 verse 9 is pray for forgiveness. Christ's invitation was given more than 19,100 years ago, and he's extending that same invitation today. Matthew 11:28, verse 30. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you wanted to answer the Lord's invitation, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been told us.